Which page are you on?
On day 61. I got it right today. Fine, so let's go. Now we have a nice white wall, background.
How are you using it for the microphone?
Fine, let's see the Chafetz Chaim. We don't have time now. So like this, we're going to say we're in day 61. It says there are certain situations where seemingly there is reason to allow the listener to accept Lashon Hara. One reason is called Mehemet Kebetre, meaning the speaker's integrity to your mind is beyond reproach, to the point where he alone is equivalent in your eyes to two men testifying in court. I think this guy is an honest guy. He doesn't lie. He's my friend. He's telling me this piece of information. For sure true. It's for sure true. I don't have a shadow of a doubt in my mind this person would lie to me. If Big Tzaddik tells me something, I don't have a shadow of a doubt in my mind that he's telling me false information. So if a person is telling me, again, obviously for a specific purpose, and he told me a certain piece of information, I believe him 100%, then I can accept it as fact. Or another scenario, could be another halacha, maybe. Masirat Lituma. Then for derogatory information, is inferred from an innocent remark which is not spoken with the intent of conveying negative information. A guy in the middle is saying a story, and the Gemara talks about this case. The case that comes with the Gemara, where it cannot so much for Lashon Hara, is let's say a guy comes from some lady, her husband is missing. He went to America, he went to Chutz Laaretz, she didn't hear of him for months. Right? Now, somebody was stopped saying a story, not trying to testify that her husband died. He said, by the way, you know something? I was with this guy in a car accident, and this guy died. He was on the bus with us, and he died. He wasn't saying it for testimony. So in certain cases, if he was just saying as a matter of fact, it would be even better than evidence. If he was saying an innocent remark, which wasn't spoken for the intent of relaying this information. It was just a matter of fact, then at a certain time, we'll let his wife get married. There's a certain level of masiyachli to him. Because he wasn't trying to testify, he was just saying a story. If in a story he said this, then we'll believe. So also about Lashon Hara. Let's say someone, he didn't know that it's regarding, I'm trying to open up a certain type of business. And it's time he happened to be talking, saying something that such as this guy, he is, let's say some person, he doesn't know I'm planning hiring Ruben to be my salesman in my office, right? He happens to be talking. He says, by the way, there was a guy Ruben in the office, and you know, basically the whole business went down the drain. Not telling for me, he wasn't telling me because he knows I'm trying to hire Ruben. Then I'm allowed to believe and take it as fact that Ruben is probably a risky guy. I should have taken him to be my salesman. Correct? So if the person relating the information was just saying it happened to me, he didn't know I'm trying to hire Ruben, then in certain scenarios I'm allowed to believe it as fact. That's the second. The third rule is the Devar Manikar. There is strong evidence indicating the derogatory information is true, then also you're allowed to believe it as fact. Now, the Chafetz Chaim is going to take apart each one of these, and he's going to come out, it's not so simple to rely on any of them. So, he's going to start one by one. He says, we discussed earlier, where a person witnessed an act of sin, but he knew the sinner would ignore his words of rebuke, then a person would be allowed to tell his Rav, or his somebody who could help him, about the incident to try to get him, you know, to try to stop him, right? I see Mr. Ruvain doing something wrong, right? And he's not going to listen to me. I see Ruvain every week, he plays tennis on Shabbos. I tell him to stop, he's not going to listen to me. Maybe things not so austere. Could be it is austere. Maybe he plays tennis in an open field on Shabbos. So now he's not going to listen to me. That maybe I can go to his Rav and tell the Rav that, listen, this guy is what this guy does. Right?
Quick question on that.
1 second. So then, the question is the Rav allowed to believe me? I went to Rav and I told him, Mr. Ruvain plays tennis every Shabbos. It's part of, you know, tournament. Every Shabbos, he's busy playing tennis. Is the Rav allowed to believe me? It depends. If he'll usually trust me that whatever I say is true, I don't exaggerate and make up stories. I don't know these guys always make up stories. Then he can believe me as fact. Right? So the Rav or parent who knows the witness and trusts his word would have the equivalency of two witnesses. Now here, Chafetz Chaim points out that for the witnesses to be related to information has to be an act which is an intentional violation of a well-known halacha. However, let's say it was an act not so many people don't know the halacha, then he would not be allowed to report this incident to this person's Rav. If he did report it, the Rav would not be permitted to accept the witness's interpretation. Where it's not like this. If it's clear that the guy's doing something wrong, then I'm allowed to tell the Rebbe he's allowed to accept it as fact. For instance, a local charity is seeking a donation from a successful young businessman in the community. The young man refuses to contribute. Now, while giving to charity is certainly required by the Torah, refusing to give tzedakah to this cause is not an issur. It's true, every person has to give tzedakah. If someone has a lot of money, doesn't give tzedakah, it's an issur d'oraisa. Correct? However, if he didn't give me, he didn't do an issur d'oraisa. I ask this guy, give me money. I see he's driving around in a fancy car, in a fancy house. I think he should give me tzedakah. So I'm not allowed to go tell his rabbi he doesn't give tzedakah. Why? Because just because he didn't give me tzedakah doesn't mean he didn't give tzedakah. Because only if I know for sure he did an issur, then I'm allowed to relate to the rabbi. Good? Fine. Let's see now. We're going to go back to the Gemara. We're going to smack the Gemara about the story.
Right. So I'm still troubled with, you know, the first case you brought where someone's just talking in conversation that, you know, Mr. X, when he was involved in this business, somehow the business went bad. He doesn't know this person has any connection with Mr. X, right?
Correct.
But there, and you're saying, well, he can be believed because he didn't know that this guy, Mr. X, was going to be applying for this job.
I mean, if I knew, let's say, I'll give a bad example. Evidently, this person shouldn't have been speaking lunch enough. This person was Tom Schmuley with another guy around him, and he said Mr. X did it, more specifically, he made like he was very reckless, and the business went down the drain because of him. Now, he wasn't saying because he knew I was going to hire.
Okay, right.
He wasn't supposed to be talking. He said Lashon Hara.
Right.
But I already heard it, and it has to do with me. Then I'm allowed to accept it as fact.
So,
technically, he's committing Lashon Hara by saying that.
But my question is, to accept, I'm focusing on to accept it as fact part of it.
Correct.
A lot of times, people might say, you know, I hired this guy, and all of a sudden my business went down the tubes. Maybe I feel it's really me, but I'm sort of putting the blame on someone else to make myself look good.
Correct, so you have to know the story, correct. Yeah, it's true, you have to realize that sometimes, you have to know the story. We're saying that Mestiel Hamatua specifically, someone, that the way information I heard was, that the business went down the drain because of this man. Now, I'm not damaging him. I can just accept it as fact. Now, you're saying maybe I should worry also that maybe this guy is just throwing the blame on somebody else. Fine. You have the right to do that. Fine. It could be. But we're saying specifically, since it wasn't said intentionally, since it was just said as a matter of fact, therefore I can believe it. You're right. You're asking that I shouldn't be allowed to believe it. Because maybe someone is trying to shift the blame to somebody else. Yes, maybe in that case you're right. It wasn't the best example. You're right. Maybe that it wouldn't have to be so clear to believe it. It could be. You would be right. Fine.
The question I have is, a parent asking about his child's friends.
Right.
You know, whether they're good, bad, or whatever.
You're asking them?
Namely, a parent needs to know who the child's friends are, and, you know, what their quality,
and you could try to help them, right? You could try to guide. It doesn't really help. You can't force them. You could try to guide them. Parents could try to guide a child, especially a teenager, who to be friends with. You can't force them. You could try. And Dam Tasha. Now, you could try to ask who's around, who's good. So that's for a specific purpose. But even then, you don't have to accept it as fact. Because, yeah, I heard there's something to worry about, this and this friend. So maybe try to make a way that my daughter shouldn't be so involved with her. Try to figure out a way. Dam Tasha. I'm going to try to figure out a way that my daughter doesn't have to be so involved. Don't send them to the same camp. Don't send them to the same, you know. The same, you know, don't send them to the same Boy Scouts. Try to send them to something else. Something like that. Try to guide them. Say, those are children. You could try to ask them. You could try, but you could try to guide them. You can't really force them to do anything. Try to help and guide them. And Davat Hashem. I'm saying even after you ask, and all your investigation doesn't always help. I'm sure you know that by now. Try.
Okay.
Fine. Let's see now. Baruch Hashem. Hopefully, I'll be able to explain some of the work today. Hashem's options.
Where are we holding?
Holding now. Fine. Holy by Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. 9 lines to the bottom, the widest lines. 9 lines from the bottom of Yud Aleph of an Aleph 11a. Good. So what did we say in yesterday's Gemara? We said if someone curses another person for nothing, you know what happens? It's
Sodom.
Before it's Sodom. Let's just back up one step. yesterday's, I mean, what's the connection between this Gemara, this nice story, and our Gemara? The Gemara is always connected, not just bringing stories. What happened was, we brought a Gemara that said that when someone davens for another person, a righteous person, to get punished, and they curse them, it comes right back to them, like the bird comes right back to its nest. Right? It goes to the, it's like a
boomerang.
Thing, you know, a boomerang. It's a boomerang, it comes right back, it's boomerang effect. Good? Now that's by a regular dude. If a regular guy curses himself for nothing, then nothing happens. If anything, he just gets it right back to him. Huh, comes back. And I said, whatever you say goes back to you, it's a real thing. Huh, whatever you say goes back to you, it's a... Yeah, less than Mars time. The regular person curses someone for nothing, it comes right back to them. That's the Allah. However, what about Fatah that curses someone for nothing? He cursed someone. It was only because he said, I'm going to curse you if you don't do a specific thing. Well, then Rabbi Akiva still works. The tzaddik cursed someone for nothing, and the tzaddik is so powerful that even if the reason why he cursed them doesn't exist anymore, doesn't apply, the curse will still come. If you're telling you don't curse people for nothing, let's say tzaddik says, if you don't do this and this, I'm giving you a curse. Even if you fulfill that thing, it's still a curse against that person. It's very strict.
Do we have to bring down an example of it? Somebody saying, this person served the ball a little bit, but I'm going to serve the ball a lot. And this person ended up stumbling and serving idols afterwards. Was it Yeshua? I don't know.
No, that's all a little different. That's
what I'm saying, different. But it's still the same concept because he's referring to himself, of the power of his speech. Uh-huh. Of his Sunday speech.
So again,
do we have an example of this?
The Gemara is going to talk right now. We're going to see it right now. The Gemara is going to read a case where a tzaddik, David HaMelech, cursed somebody. It was only on condition. It was, I'm cursing people only on condition that you don't tell me the halacha. He said, anybody, if you know the halacha and you're not telling me, I'm giving you a curse. That's what he said. Right? If you know the halacha to this question, if you know the answer, and you're not telling me, I'm cursing you. That's what David HaMelech said. Good? Now what happened? So basically he's cursing Akhetayfel. He knew that someone knew the answer to his question. And basically, even though Akhetayfel said the right answer, so he shouldn't have got cursed, still he got cursed in a certain level. Right? Again, even though David HaMelech cursed somebody only conditionally, he said, I'm cursing you on the condition that you don't give me the answer. That was a curse. If you don't give me the right answer, I'm cursing you.
If
you know the answer and you don't tell me the answer, I'm cursing you.
Didn't he already know the
halacha,
though, that anyway...
No, David HaMelech didn't know the halacha. David HaMelech didn't know. He was stuck.
I'm saying that's the actual halacha. So wouldn't David HaMelech know that even if the guy tells him the curse,
Yeah, it could be he knew, but still, he was very strict. He always had bugs not to touch balls. Not, whatever. One of his rebellion, but he had, like, it was... David HaMelech didn't have an easy time with anybody, it sounds like. But he became David HaMelech. It wasn't easy. His rebellion and this and... The Gemara Brachos says he embarrassed himself as his Rebbe a lot of times if he had the right answer. It wasn't easy for him. But he made Sefer Tehillim. Fine. So again, even though David HaMelech cursed Achadeva conditionally, that I'm only cursing you if you don't tell me the right answer, if you don't tell me the answer. And he told him the answer, still, since the Tzaddik said out of his mouth you're going to get cursed, he ended up getting a level of the curse. Let's see if we're inside. Yeah, we have it now. 2, 4, 6. 9 lines from the body. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rab. Kilas Chacham. The curse of a Chacham. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say a Chacham. Afilu b'chinam hi. Afilu b'chinam. Even if it was for nothing, because in the end, there was no reason to get the curse, he bought it, it comes. It comes unto the person. This is the curse of a Chacham. Even if it was for nothing, because there was no reason that you should deserve the curse in the end, still, the curse still comes, a certain extent, the curse is still fulfilled. That's what Gemara says. Minalan, from where do we know this? Achetayfel, the story of Achetayfel. Now what happened? Shebesha'a, Shekara, David. That in the time that David HaMelech dug, Shekara means he dug, Sheetin, Kafa Tahima, 60 Kafa Tahima. What does Kafa Tahima mean?
Water rose up.
Yeah, well, so right, what would Kafa Tahima mean? When
rise up.
Tahom is going to rise. That's the next one that they want to do. So instead of here, he was digging the depths. He's digging the Well, kapha.
Kapha means to rise up. Float up to the top, to rise up.
Oh, fine. The Shara Shukara Tavish is good. Kapha Tavish, the Tahaim, the depths, the waters, the Tahaim, you know, when Hashem created the world in Bereshit, it says Hashem made the Tahaim. The depths, what they call in English, you know, they started rising up, good. So, Bali, the Mishnah of Allah Amenei, wanted to destroy, wanted to drown. Mishnah means to drown. Wanted to flood, actually. Wanted to flood the world. La'am wanted to flood the world. Because you're messing with him, he wants to flood the world. Amar. So Darulah said the following question. Mahu, what is it? What's the halacha? Am I allowed to lichta shema chasta? Yes, you got the question? Am I allowed to write Hashem's name on a piece of paper? On a piece of chaspa, on a piece of pottery, of charis. Umishta, I'm going to throw it, v'tahayma, I'm going to throw it on it into the depths. The lake with it, it should stand adochte in its place. Basically, the depths should just relax and shouldn't destroy the whole world. That's David Mel's question. Okay. Am I allowed to do this Isser Deraisa, erasing Hashem's name? Right? Because the minute I put this thing down, it's going to erase Hashem's name, which is usually Isser Deraisa, erase Hashem's name. In order to save the world, maybe too bad. You got to keep the Torah. Destroy the world. What's the halacha? Right? So he threw out the question. He asked a bunch of people questions. Leka the Amar Levi. There was no one that said to him anything. No one told him the halacha. No one answered him. He threw out the question. He public question. Nobody answered him. Amar, he said the following. Now it sounds like he knew somebody knew the answer because he was being very strict. Maybe one of the guys wanted to get, you know, get back at him. He knew someone knew the answer. Because look what he said. Amar, he said the following. Kol ha'yadeya davar zeh, whoever knows this thing. The Einot Amar, and he's not going to say the halacha. Yachlak, we're going, he should choke in his throat. Basically, he should choke to death. He cursed him. He said, anyone who knows that Allah is not telling me, he should choke to death. That's what he said. So what happened now? So what happened? It says, Nata Akhidev al-Kabukhari ba'asim. Achitofel made a Kabbal Chayim. So I was seeing Rashi, how could it be? There were two different times. Let's see in Rashi exactly what's going on. How could it be? The time thing, the time line doesn't really work out. We'll see in Rashi soon.
Now this Kabbal Chomer, it came up from Zohar as opposed to Masorah, we're saying?
Correct. It wasn't from his Rebbeim. I don't know, it was on the spot. Yeah, but actually, correct. He made this Kabbal Chomer stuff. He didn't hear it from his Rebbeim. No, you got this guy come up with some Chedushim now. We need you. So he came up with the Kabbal Chomer by himself. But I thought that sounds like interesting lesson that says sounds. The camel becomes going by himself. Abraham said the following. Uma la says shalom. And what is it? Just like in order to make peace. Bein ish la ishta, between man, a husband, and wife. Amra hatar, the Torah says, meaning Hashem says, Shemi shenichta b'kedusha, my name which is written in Kedusha, right? Which means the name of Hashem was written on a piece of parchment. Yimacha should be erased, al hamayim should be erased in the water. So you know the halacha is, when a kohen checks a saita, right? A wayward woman, right? And she's secluded with her man, and she was warned. And right, the whole story is saita, right? She's secluded with her man, her husband warned her, she was warned, and the witnesses saw it. She's secluded with her man. We don't know what happened. We just saw her going, and see the witnesses saw her going to a room with a man. That's all. So what's the halacha? We write the whole parsha of saita on a piece of paper, on parchment, right? With Hashem's name. And then what do we do? What do with the paper? Put it in the water, right? And naturally, the name of Hashem and all those ink goes into the water. Now it's like magical waters. Then she drinks the waters. And if she's guilty, these waters make her whole stomach blow up. Correct? So what do we say? Hashem says, obviously, in order for this to work, you need to like write Hashem's name on it. The parasha of Saita. Hashem says, write my name. You know why you write my name? In order to make peace between husband and wife. How's it making peace? Or Fred, how does it make you peace between husband and wife by erasing Hashem's name? You know why?
Because if she's not guilty, then she'll have a child.
Oh, if she's innocent, then they'll get remarried. Her husband suspects. He doesn't know what the story is. So if she's guilty, then, boom, she'll fuss. She'll blow up. But if she's innocent,
Not that slow.
It's going to bust. It's like, I don't know what it is.
It worked very quick.
Yes, I know.
It's not like very messy. Yes.
Fine.
Homicide bomber?
So what are we saying again? So what are we saying here? So we're saying here that if she was innocent, it makes peace between her and her husband. So her husband knows she didn't really do anything wrong. And they'll live happily ever after. They'll have a new child. They'll get a bracha with the parents. They'll have a child. And there'll be great, a lot of great things will happen. So what's that? Hashem says, erase mind. So Gemara, we're in the middle of a Kal Chaimer. What's the Gemara's Kal Chaimer? It says, if Hashem says to erase his name, just to make peace between one husband and one wife, one family in the world, between one husband and wife, Hashem says, erase my name. Erase my name. Mala Hashem Ishtoi. Omra Hatar, the Torah tells me, Shemi Shenichtav Bektusha, that my name which is written in holiness, Macha Pnei Amayim, should be erased in the water, right? So Chala Olam Kula, to save the whole world, they shouldn't drown. Like Koshkin, isn't it obvious all the more so that you're allowed to cause Hashem's name to get erased? That was Akhatevel's Kavu Chaimer. It's a good Kavu Chaimer. It's like, if to save one marriage, one family client, so you're allowed to erase Hashem's name, for sure to save the whole world's life. For sure you're allowed to, what's it called? Right? So what does he want to say? Amar Leis Akhatevel said, therefore, Shari, therefore it's Mutter. He said, you're allowed to. So what happened? Kasav Shema Chasla. He wrote the name of Hashem on a piece of pottery. Shadi, he threw it at the Haimer, right? Shadi means Shadi means he threw it. Shadi threw it at the Haimer through the depths. Nechas, it rested right now. They come and it stood at the end of its place. It went back to its place. The depth that did not drain the world. Which means actually the Gemara in Sukkah says something more. The our Gemara just said to calm down. But the Gemara in Sukkah says that actually the depth went down lower than it was supposed to be. It went down another 16,000 amos lower than its original place. And David HaMelech saw it went down too low. Guess maybe the piece of charis went down that low. He saw now we're not going to have water. We need water. We need some water to be close to the ground, you know, to come up a little bit for the springs and everything. Right? So what happened? He said 15 shirim amos. Now we know there are 15 shirim amos. Right? There were 15 steps in the Beis HaMikdash. The rabbi referred to them. There were 15 shirim amos. And each time he said another shirim, that was when he composed them. He composed the shirim amos. And each one he composed, the Talmud rose up another level until it got up to the right spot. It came up 15,000 amos. And then it stayed 1,000 amos deep. I guess that was a good spot for it. So it stayed 1,000 amos deep. So it went down from its original place 16,000 amos. He picked it up 15 levels. I guess it was good. At least it was 1,000 under the original spot, but 1,000 amos under Tahom level. But now, that's where it stayed. That's the Gemara in Sukkah ends the story. And Agmar ends peacefully. It just went back down. The Gemara in Sukkah said it went down. He had to work up to get it back to Tzadikim. He had to work hard. Good? So that was it. Yeah, story time.
An example, not just from the time of the Beit HaMikdash, the Chida. In his days, husband came to him complaining about his wife. His wife dresses modestly, she behaves modestly, he's sure that she goes out with other men, and this, that, and the other thing. When he talks to her about it, she laughs at him. Very chutzpah and mocking and so on. And he asks the Rav to do something, to put her in her place. So the Rav said, okay, bring her to me. He came with his wife, and she was dressed even from what it is described in the book. It would be perutz even in our days. In those days even it was worse. And she made a mockery of the Rav and everything. And he told her, come with me to the Beit Knesset, open the Hechal, open the Sefer Torah to the Rashat Sotah. And he didn't do what was written, he just read from the Sefer Torah, Im Tamim, Rashat Sotah, and closed it. He said, you can go now. As she walked out of the Beit Knesset, her leg fell off and her belly exploded. On the spot.
No.
Exactly the way it's written. That was witness what happened to her. But on the spot.
Yeah, what time
on the steps going out of Beit Knesset.
At one point in history,
was
it?
What?
Like at one point in history,
was
the Chida of Chaim Yosef Avidal. The Chida was a generation after the Arizal.
Yeah, it was a couple hundred years ago. Yeah. So now, that's his point. So that was the answer. But what was the punchline of our Gemara? So that's what happened. So he made a Kavu Chomer. He said, you're a yes, a laugh. What happened now? So what happened? David HaMelech said, whoever knows the answer doesn't tell me, is going to get cursed. whoever knows the answer doesn't tell me, they're going to choke to death. So what happened? Achi Tefel told him the answer. So it seems like he shouldn't get cursed, right? He knew the answer. So he shouldn't get cursed, it seems like, right? Because Dabel said, only if you don't tell me the answer, you should choke. But what happens, still what happens, Ba'achilu Hachi still in wall. See, what does the Pasuk say? The Tevel saw his Eitzah was not done. Vayachosh as a Hamar. Vayachom vayelech al beis Irei. And he stood up and he went to his city. Al beis his house in his city. Vayitzav al beis vayechonek. And he choked. Which means, at the end he did choke to death. So we see, even a Chacham who gives a curse, right? We see still it was felt that he ended up choking himself to death. So we see that even a curse of the Chacham was very scary. So even if you do fulfill what he said, still you get the curse. So, right, why should he get cursed if he did what he was supposed to? So it sounded like he didn't really do what he was supposed to. It sounded like originally Darabal didn't know the halacha. He was a little frustrated. He knew could be some rabbis know the halacha. And for the first place, they didn't tell him the halacha. So then he said, if you don't tell it to me now, I'm going to curse you, you're going to choke to death. We see, obviously, there was some place for the curse also to... There's a reason why the curse was fulfilled.
So you're saying he strangled himself?
He choked himself. Yeah, he choked himself.
So this was there some sort of small time lag between when he said if someone knows and doesn't say, then they're going to get hanged, they're going to choke to death? And then was there like a little time lag?
It doesn't seem like that, because it seems like that part he did what he was supposed to. So on that part he did 100% what he was supposed to. But still, once a Chacham said a curse out of his mouth that this person is going to get choked, it somehow already made a little effect.
He's banged the thing.
Since, in a little bit, it could be since he knew the Allah a little bit, so that's the Allah. Because even the Talmud said, really, he tells you, whoever knows Allah and is not going to tell to you, they're going to choke. But there's an element, really, of Dalai Lama was like, a little bit like bothered, people weren't telling him the Allah. He had a feeling someone knew the Allah. So, the curse is a little bit just against the person who knows the halacha. Even though he said, if you tell me, then, even though he said, you're going to choke if you don't tell me the halacha, still, to some effect, it's the curse is going to take effect of a tzaddik, even if at the end of the day it was for nothing, because you really did tell them the halacha.
What if he goes back and cancels it somehow and
gives him a bracha? Yeah, it could be that would work. A bracha with tzaddik is also very big. It could be you could counteract it if he wants. But it sounds like Dalai Lama wasn't so interested. It sounds like.
Aren't there modern day examples of tzaddikim cursing people? And also, does Rashi say anything?
Rashi has a lot of things to say, actually. Today he speaks a lot. Let's see Rashi here. So really Rashi, this side is really where usually Tysus is. It's on the left side of the page. So a lot of Rashi's here. Let's see Rashi. 10 lines for the top. Rashi's giving on the left side now. 10 lines for the top. Up to Rashi. Shakara David. Sheetin Yisodus. David dug 60 foundations. What was he digging for? Shal Beis HaMikdash. He was trying to dig for the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara Yerushalmi. But see, we find in the Gemara Yerushalmi. Now what does it say over there in the Gemara Yerushalmi? It says, Matsidu Timolius Shal Beis HaMikdash. For who you said, Lashman. It says the word over there, it says it was Timolius. That's what he was digging. Which Rashi says that's really just a Greek word for the foundation. So even the Gemara Yerushalmi, he's basically trying to dig for the foundation. He's trying to put down the foundation for the Beis HaMikdash, even though he didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. You see all the tzaddikim. They did whatever they can for the mitzvah. Like we had a Gemara Moshe Rabbeinu, he couldn't make all 6 Ari Mikdash, he made 3. David Melech also, Hashem told him, you can't build the Beis HaMikdash, you have too much blood on your hands. Right? But your son, you'll be zeppi, your son will do it. But you can build a foundation. Hashem didn't tell him you can't build a foundation. All the tzaddikim, they do whatever they can. There's reason, whatever they say. He built the foundation at least. He's not going to build the actual building, but the building can't stand without the foundation. He's building the foundation for his son also, but his son is going to be exactly the building. But that's what it's interesting what Rashi is to bring. Rashi is saying that Gemara Yerushalmi is not arguing. Gemara Yerushalmi says that David HaMelech was digging for the Timolius. It's the same thing. It's just a Greek word for foundation. So now you learned your first word in Greek. Kavat Tahaima. Taf HaTahaim. The Tahaim was floating. The Tahaim, the depths, or like you say, like a rose. The Gemara Yerushalmi, also Rashi bring that again, feels important to quote the Gemara Yerushalmi. It says more information about the story. Rashi's filling us in at the story. Shematza Shamacheres. They found there a piece of pottery. Shegbiya Kailulah. he's trying to dig the foundation. Suddenly he hit a hard stone. It's like, I need to build a foundation. He's hit this big piece of pottery. The pottery started screaming at him. Va'amar, the pottery said, Va'amar, like, I'll take the land you can. Don't take me from here. Sha'ani kavash altan, because I am covering over, I'm a captured over the depths. Miyai matan taira, for the day of matan taira, the Torah was given. Shira'a da kol ha'aretz, that the whole world trembled.
Has
kavash, didn't it? It sounded like kavash altan, it was like captured on. It sounded like it was like a cover. Basically, it was like a seal.
It was subduing the
tahom. Basically, it was like, that's a good word. The chayr, this piece of chayr, so it was basically holding it. Right, that's what it says.
That's the story.
Once he moved it, he's like, I gotta put down the foundation. I don't care, Mr. Chayrez. I gotta put down the foundation. You do whatever you want. I gotta build this thing. I'm gonna break you because I'm gonna gotta build the foundation with the Mr. Mikdash.
So it's
care.
Like a hatch.
It's like a hatch. It's like, be like a cover, a lid. A hatch. You know. Yeah, fine. It's like a hatch.
Talking hatch.
Yeah, so that basically, the hatch hold him down. Now, Dan HaMelech, for some reason, did not listen. He said, I need to build the Mr. Mikdash now. I don't care what you're talking, pit pottery. I gotta do my job. I gotta build the Beis HaMikdash, the foundation. So what happened? The Lai Shama Davar Lizvar. David didn't listen to this, but enough, we took it off. So then, once he took off this hatch, this lid, basically the thing started coming up and overflowing the whole world. Like, you know, the main water break. The main had the water break in the main, and the whole world is back to get flooded. Right? So basically, right, because what happened by Matan Davar? Matan Davar, right, when Hashem said, Nechai Hashem Alekecha, I've got the Gemara says in Shabbos, how much the world moves. Right? When Hashem started saying the Ten Commandments, the world moved a lot. God would have said, like, it basically got shifted. The whole world shifted. The Gemara Shabbos looks at that. When Hashem started talking, you know, it's not so regular for Hashem to talk in this world. When Hashem started saying, Hashem said, the whole world, like, shifted over a lot. Like, the whole thing was like, so basically then, the depths would have also been. So since my turn, Hashem put a piece of pottery on top of the depths to hold it down. Because the whole original system was, you know, out of whack. So this piece of pottery, from the day of Matan Torah, Hashem put it there so that the whole world doesn't get flooded. Okay? It's not like originally there was like a better system set up that shouldn't flood the world. After everything got shifted, this piece of Torah is covered over. So the world came and smashed. That's interesting. What did he do? He threw down a piece of Torah with Hashem's name, and somehow it stopped. I guess we don't need a hatch in it anymore. Imagine that Hashem's name held it down. There. Same. Interesting. No, I'm saying he didn't make a new hatch. I don't know if he's able to get down there. But he threw that in the name of Hashem and it went back down, calmed down the waters. Oh.
Was it the same Ferris?
I don't know. Doesn't say.
Couldn't figure out, was it the same Ferris? Also, was it a Ferris that already had a name on it?
No, he wrote Hashem's name on it.
Wrote it?
Yeah, you know how to write a Ferris. You can't write Hashem's name, you should write a Ferris. Yeah, the race, it'd be bizarre.
It's not
right. That's not. It said that he wrote it. I don't know. It said like he wrote it then. I don't think it was here. It doesn't sound like it was here. I don't know if he's able to get that piece. That piece of cards he smashed, probably in the depths. I don't know if he's able to get that piece. He said he smashed it. He I don't know. Maybe it was the same piece. Clearly, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the same piece. Right name on. Yeah, it's complicated. I don't know if he was doing that. Yes, obviously very deep. I don't know these things. Speaker, local Orthodox Kabbalist. That. There's a good shot. I don't know if it was the same piece. Clearly, the same piece of cards. Don't say here it was. Fine, so let's see the next Rashi. He had a question. Me, Shari, is it permitted, Lichtav Shem, to write Hashem's name? What's the problem? Pen, maybe, lest, Yimchakehu, will get erased, Hamayim, the water will erase it. But I will transgress, Mishum, because of the violation of the Ibadatem, as Shemam, to make Hashem's name get lost, which means to erase Hashem's name. And the Pasuk says, Valai Satsun Kain, you shouldn't do this. It's Isra the Raisa to write Hashem's name on something. In a man, it's going to get erased. Correct? Therefore, also, even a tattoo, it's a big shadow. The person puts a tattoo. Let's say some people, I don't know, I really understand where they're coming from, but some people, they make the tattoos with Hashem's name, Yudke Vavken. Like Hashem's name. I saw a tattoo. I saw a guy had a tattoo like that. The shadow that you light a laser it off. Why do they think they say it's mutter? But usually, not erase Hashem's name. People mistakenly, they write, psukim, when people have cats sometimes, they write on a cat Hashem's name. Not write Hashem's name on a cat. Some people write Hashem should give you a poor shlema, and they write Hashem. Some of them wrote on a guy's cast, psuk him to him, and he's like some type of Kabbalist. Why is it? Rabbi said it's wrong. You can't write Hashem's name of Hashem on a cast. It's going to get chopped up, thrown in the garbage. Right? You can't write Hashem's name with a pen on your hand. It's going to get erased on the. Get out, they say it's not mamish writing, but you shouldn't write Hashem's name. You shouldn't write it on your hand. Anyway, basically, not the best idea to write Hashem and Damon anywhere that will get lost. They'll become a bazillion. For sure, it will come to get erased. Even a sofer, right, when he's writing Sefer Torah, he makes a mistake on Hashem's name, he's not going to erase it. He's got to start over again. You can't erase Hashem's name. So it's a derice to erase Hashem's name. Yeah, the way we write is not a problem. The way we write with pen and paper is not such a problem. It's not really considered writing halachically. It has to be between lines and parchment with lines, like the line, like Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, they're written like in Sirta. Right, there's lines etched in between the, there's lines etched into the parchment. But anyways, you can't erase Hashem's name. So no, 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 my letter erased. Hashem's name is for sure going to get erased. I'm going to write on this piece of parchment. I'm going to throw it, it's going to get erased in the depths, these flooding waters. But it's going to calm it down. Am I allowed to do that? Sachitayvos tell them yes. You're allowed. No Sachitayvos. Now Rashi has a very big question. Us, we're not so smart. We don't really understand the timelines. So we don't really understand. Tell me, Tata Melech, Achitayvos, it sounds good. Rashi says, how in the world does Gemara make sense? There were two different times. Achitayvos did not live in David HaMelech's time. Now, how do you have a story? David HaMelech had a question. Now Achitayvos gave the answer. How does that make any sense? They lived in different times. Is it a good question? So what's Rashi? Rashi asked the question. Yesh came up, but there's a wonder with David this thing. Shari Lokana David Esagarin. David HaMelech didn't buy the field, like the silo of the place where the Beit HaMikdash. May Arona, that was the person's name, May Arona Hayabusi. Right? He bought the plot from Arona Hayabusi. If the Arabs say it's theirs, David HaMelech bought this piece of land from Arona Hayabusi. Adam Maisa Tahasasa. Tell the story later. Shari Salah Adam Yichasachi Taifel. Gimel Shanin. David HaMelech only bought the land 3 years after Achitayvos died. So how in the world does this whole story make sense? How do we David HaMelech building the foundation, right? If he didn't buy it yet? That's Rashi's question. You tell me you started David HaMelech building the foundation, and then Achitayvos gave an answer. But David HaMelech didn't buy this whole plot until 3 years after Achitayvos died. Correct? So how could Achitayvos give him the answer? That.
The word
I don't know what the whole story was. The mindset of Hasasa, something like a rebellion, something like that. I don't know exactly what this word over here means. Like Hasata is like a going against. I'm not sure. I don't know exactly what the word over here means. What?
Excite.
Something like you go against somebody. Yes, Rabbi Yaakov. Fine. I don't know what that word means. Fine. So what are we saying here? So what it must be? So Rashi says, what must be? Rashi has kind of a conclusion of our Gemara. It must be that David HaMelech knew that this is where the Beis HaMikdash was going to be. And he already started digging before he bought it from him. Maybe he told him, maybe he didn't tell him. I don't know exactly the story. He probably told him, so he wasn't stealing. Which means Rashi says, how did David HaMelech was digging the foundation and Achitayvos was there? If he didn't buy the land until 3 years after Achitayvos died, what's the answer? Rashi says. Rashi says the answer is, you're right. He didn't buy the field yet, but David HaMelech dug the foundations even before he bought it, because he knew from when he was a little child already that this is going to be the place of the Beis HaMikdash. So from way before then, even before he bought it, he already started digging the foundation, probably with permission. Unless he knew Hashem gave it to us, it belongs to us anyway, so he just dug it anyway. It doesn't say with permission or not.
No, it says
that he had permission.
How far he still does Birushusa.
It says, no, I wasn't sure Birushusa means in his.
With the permission.
That's you're learning Birushusa means with the permission. I thought Birushusa meant in his Birushusa, in his domain. Ah, nachos. He's saying he gave him permission. So Rashi's saying, so good Rashi says, Baruch Hashem. A few some people like Rashi. So Rashi, he learned, so he let him. I guess he knew it was going to be a good deal. He knew eventually we'll sell it. I guess he'll get enough money, whatever it is. So he learned that Rashi, that's Rashi coming up from this Gemara. Must be. So again, you see David HaMelech's Rizus. He knew he can't even build the Beis HaMikdash. Now he can't even build, he didn't even buy the plot yet, because he already wants to start serving Hashem. He said, I don't have money, I didn't buy it yet. I'm not going to be able to build it. My son Shalom is going to build it. At least let me do what I can now. Now let me ask my permission to build these things. See, this Rizus, Sadiqim, they do whatever they can for Hashem.
Ooh.
He didn't even buy it yet, imagine? And he's not going to build it. But you see, he did whatever he can, he did the Sadiqim. They do what they can. There's reasons. They try to get whatever they can. Mashalak, we had Mashalak Mikla. Yeah, we have that tomorrow. That Mashalak Mikla is fine. So let's see over here. So let's try it again. Well, if he has Baram Hillel, according to these words, Shrichim Anulay, we must say, She'af Alfi, even though She'loi Kana Hagairin, that David still did not buy this plot of land for Aren HaYavusi. Still, Yedeya Hayav Min Ura, he knew already from his young age, Min Yain, Shenimshach, it could be from the day he already was anointed, let me take it out, Ve'yeshvu Hu Ushmuel, Nevis HaRama, him and Shmuel sat in Nevis HaRama from a certain place, and they try to map out, they sat in this place, and they try to map out where exactly the Beis HaMikdash is going to be. Ubadku B'Sefer Yeshua, they checked Sefer Yeshua where the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be. Umatu Makam, and they found the place, the Beis HaMikdash, they found the place, they'll say, like it says in Tehillim, Ad Emta Makam, but he said, until I find a place for Hashem, right? But Ashina lay be zvachim. We learned in the Masechta Zvachim be Ezer Makana, the parak of Ezer Makana, and the Nadan of Abed. Then the Gemara makes a drush over there that those people referring to David HaMelech knew where the Makam of the Mikdash is. Rashi, the Gemara already knew. He worked it out with Shmuel already. Him and Shmuel sat down and they tried to map it out and they figured out where exactly, according to Sefer Yeshua, it's going to be. Well, according to the Pesukim, well, really, well, Rav Ram saying these is also, how they find out Amel's palate, like David HaMelech, the ear David now, they took a look at the Sefer Yeshua, and they looked at the distance from the Beis HaMikdash to how far David HaMelech's palate is going to be. They dug under there, and they found like ear David, they say, I found that area. According to from those Pesukim also, it's very exact. The Pesukim give you exact dimensions, it's very clear. If you know how to learn Pesukim, you know how to do a math, then Hashem helps you. Fine, they dug what they found. They were very good. So what happened? Vinil Chafar HaYisaitis, they dug these sites. For Shusai, yes, after he got permission from him. So this is all in the lifetime of Achitaifel. That's Rashi's answer. It's an amazing thing. See here also, even before he even bought the land, he's already trying to dig on it. I don't mind to buy it off, put down the foundation. Tzadikim for Hashem, try to do what we can. Amazing, no? Now he'll tell you want to buy a plot for a shul. Before you buy, say, I don't have money to buy it yet. I'm good at buying, let me start digging the foundation. I want you to start. Do what I can. Wow, it's amazing. They just wanted to serve Hashem. Fine. Let's see the next Rashi. Yimacha Alamayim said the name should get erased on the water. So what was the Achitavis Kavachimer? He said, if Hashem's name could get erased just to make husband between. Shall a peace between one couple, between one husband and wife, Kavacharma to save the whole world, you can erase, cause Hashem's name to get erased. Also, realize here also, you're not really directly erasing Hashem's name. Another thing also we have to remember is, it's also indirect. You're not directly erasing Hashem's name. You're throwing it into the water, which indirectly causes Hashem's name to get erased. It's another thing also. Just like by Saita, we let you indirectly erase Hashem's name. For sure, here, to save the whole world, you can indirectly erase Hashem's name. Correct? Hana, are you directly erasing Hashem's name here? No, it's wrong into the water. It's erased. But so they jilek over there, you can indirectly. Yeah. So they say jilek over there, you're allowed to indirectly erase Hashem's name.
It's psychoation, but it's drama.
Same, but the mindset is, yeah. I don't know, that's what they say over here. Then. It's Gurren. Okay, better. That was his kind of karma. If you could cause it to get erased, here for sure, but here you could cause it to get erased. Let's see the next Rashi. Yimacha Alamai. The Chassidus, they said it in the Pesukim and Saita. Umacha, and they should erase El Mehar Mar into the bitter waters. The whole parsha of Saita. Now Rashi brings down. Baharbe Haskaras, the parsha. There are many mentioning Haskaras means of Hashem's name in the parsha of Saita. You read the Pesukim, there's a lot of times it mentions Hashem's name. Ba'afiluhachi, that Aleph Pehe means Ba'afiluhachi. It's an acronym for Ba'afiluhachi. It's still in all. Ksiv it says, Umacha. V'chulu, you should erase, etc. Erase Hashem's name. Erase all those whatever's written in Parashat Saita into the water. Now Rashi just explains to us this whole curse, the David HaMelech cursed Achitav, was for nothing. Why was it for nothing? The Klalozu, this curse, Bechina Maisa, it was Bechina. Shaloi Hoi Mekala, he didn't curse him, Ella, unless, Im'enom, if he doesn't tell him the answer, he's only cursing if you don't say the answer. Achitav did say the answer, so he shouldn't have got cursed. Still, we see the Chassadik, even if the Chachma, if he curses somebody, even though it was for nothing. Once it comes out of his mouth, it's targeted towards you. You're gonna get hit by it. That's it. It stays by you. Good. What do you say, Hannah?